The Vatican has issued further clarifications on the Church's position regarding the health care of patients who are in a so-called vegetative state. The clarifications come in response to two questions submitted by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. The questions concern the provision of food and water to these patients, mostly administered by artificial means. Given the enormous burden this places on families and on the health system, the bishops wanted further clarification on whether or not church doctrine considers such treatment extraordinary or disproportionate, and thus not a moral obligation. The Undersecretary for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Father Joseph Augustine de Noia, explained the church's guidelines to Charles Collins.
Essentially, the occasion for it was an address of John Paul II to the participants in a congress in 2004 on life-sustaining treatments, in which the then Holy Father stated that nutrition and hydration ought not to be considered extraordinary means, but should be understood as the normal care, feeding and providing essential liquids is part of normal care of a person who is in a persistent vegetative state. The American bishops, responding to questions that arose about this address, formulated questions which they sent to us in 2005, a year later. And the question was, did this teaching of John Paul II represent a development or a change in this teaching of the Church going back to the time of Pius XII. And so we gave the matter a thorough study, consulting, you know, experts and, you know, giving it the complete treatment because of its importance that these sorts of issues should get. The response has been, first of all, that what John Paul II said in that discourse in 2004 does not represent a change, but is simply continuous with the Church's teaching, and there is a commentary that accompanies these two simple responses, which cites the various documents that have come from the Holy See in that time, confirming that nutrition and hydration, even when provided by artificial means, are not necessarily, therefore, extraordinary means. However, we do say in the commentary that in places where this technology, although it's practically universal, where it may not be possible to provide it, then, of course, we could not oblige the impossible in those locations where they might be.
Can you tell us what we mean when we say extraordinary means?
I suppose there are two things that have to be said. The first thing is that a person in a persistent vegetative state is not actually dying in that sense any more than any of us. I mean, you could say we're all eventually going to die, but the person in a persistent vegetative state does not have a condition which makes death imminent or immediate, whereas the withdrawal of food and liquids would, in fact, cause death. So in that sense, it's not an extraordinary, but simply an ordinary and proportionate means. You continue to provide the nutrition necessary for a person who retains his or her dignity despite this failure in their overall health. They are not terminal, but they need to be provided this assistance. And the second point is that nutrition and hydration are not extraordinary means, technical means that are introduced simply to prolong life where it would imminently come to an end by its natural course because of some illness. So that people will frequently say, well, please do not, you know, resuscitate me, or please do not, at the end of my life, allow a great deal of technology to be used to keep me alive when I would simply die peacefully. So in that sense, the Church is not here enjoining a kind of excessive a prolongation of life, but simply saying that to withdraw nutrition and hydration is to end a life that would otherwise continue naturally.
You mentioned human dignity. Many people will often use that phrase, quality of life, and that's one reason that they think that hydration and nutrition should be removed is because the quality of life of someone who's in a vegetative state is not a life worth living. What's your response to someone who says that?
Right. That's a very good question. And in fact, what we're saying here is that the quality of life is not a judgment that you might say is in our hands to make. Life is a gift from God, and the Church has consistently taught that it is a gift that is not subject to the determination and decision, really, of anyone, including the person himself or herself who is ill. So the dignity of the human person perdures through all of their physical development. So an infant who in a certain sense one could say has a very limited quality of life, as if that were some abstract standard, nonetheless possesses, indeed, the infant in the womb already possesses. So the human person is from the Catholic point of view, if I may use a big word, ontologically constituted as to possess a dignity which perdures through all of the various physical states which each person experiences in life, from the existence in the womb to the final moments before death. At no point can life be terminated for any reason. I mean, innocent life. Now, we're not, without getting into the whole issue of self-defense and war. The dignity of the human person perdures throughout all of the physical states that transpire in a person's life, from the womb until natural death.
Father Joseph Augustine de Noia is the Undersecretary for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He was speaking there to my colleague, Charles Collins.